I don't think we'll ever get used to the turnover.
The quick turnover?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, nobody cares about our work problems.
Our trials and tribulations.
But
getting ready to start on time.
I don't know if people know, we went to a network and we're statewide. And because of that, the breaks are, the last break is a hard break at the same time every hour, 15 seconds before 10 o'clock. The morning show wraps it up. And we have like a minute and a half to, it makes it worse when Jansen doesn't log out of the computer. So now I'm trying to log back in. It's not going well. But anyway.
I understand.
Yeah. So we used to break, 3 minutes before the top of the hour. And Gator and I had a good 5 minutes to get settled in. But nobody cares about our problems. But, they're work challenges. These are our work challenges.
Nice.
Yes. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything exciting last night?
No, not really. I mean, we're watching basketball, and I said to the guys, I don't want the Knicks to win, but I also realize I don't think I want San Antonio to win.
I really don't either.
I don't have the like real dislike for San Antonio like I do for the Knicks, but at the same time, I do not like San Antonio. I don't like how they got here.
How they walked into another
Hall of Famer.
I hate how they got.
I don't even like Wemby as a player. Like, I think obviously he's great, and defensively it's like, good God, how do you score anything in the paint with that guy on the floor? But I don't like his style of play. I just don't. He's this giant spider out there, and I don't know. And he's obviously athletically gifted, but he's a beanpole out there, and he does some foul baiting too that I just don't like or appreciate. So I don't like this series at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have nearly as big an issue with him as I do Jalen Brunson. And I think Wemby's fascinating to watch. Here's something underrated about the Spurs in terms of disdain for them. Is we do focus on them winning the Wemby lottery, as we should. And we've talked about the Spurs have been in the lottery 10 times. Out of those 10 times, they have never moved down. They have moved up six times. And three times they've moved all the way up to number one. And all three times there was a generational player available. And those were David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama. And on the surface, that is like an incredible amount of lottery luck. I mean, an amazing amount of lottery luck. I mean, the Red Wings, we documented this a while ago. The Red Wings have had, obviously not in the NBA. Although I wouldn't count out the Spurs of winning the NHL lottery with their lottery luck. Yeah.
Give them time.
But the Red Wings have dropped down more than any team in any lottery ever. Like we documented, did the math, and they were like the worst faller of anybody when it comes to lotteries.
Well, the Spurs also benefited back in the day when they took David Robinson because David Robinson had some military service he had to do. So the Spurs still sucked.
And so they
got Sean Elliott?
Sean Elliott a couple drafts later. Anyway, here's something that's very underrated. Is the year the Pistons 2 years ago when they went 14-68 and were authentically the worst team in the NBA. Unlike some tankers around them, they just authentically sucked, right?
Right.
The Pistons had the best chance to win the lottery, and the lottery was for the top four spots.
Because they had like the worst record by, wasn't it like 10 wins or something, or six wins?
No, Washington was one.
They were 50, just 15. Yeah. My bad.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, I'm getting confused with the Red Wings that one year when they were like 20 points worse than
and they were terrible, yeah. So the Pistons had the best chance to win the lottery, but they also had the best chance like to finish second, third, or fourth. And instead, they plummeted out of the top four and finished fifth. That year, San Antonio moved up a spot. They had the fifth worst record. They were one of the lottery winners. They won the fourth ping pong ball or combination of ping pong balls. They moved up one spot. That one spot was the difference between Stephon Castle and Ron Holland. Now, I don't know that the Pistons would have taken Stephon Castle with the fourth pick, but that is an underrated, another stab in the back by the Spurs and the NBA lottery system. Is the Pistons that year missed out on a player that, I hope Ron Holland pans out. I'll just say that. But I mean, would they have taken Stephon Castle? Kang, do you think the Pistons would have taken Stephon Castle if they got the fourth pick that year?
It's hard to say. That was Trajan Langdon's first draft. I didn't know how, what his, you know, we like Brad Holmes.
Yeah.
I could at least figure, like, okay, what I think he's thinking.
No, at no, that no, time, there's none of that. Kang would tell you what, no, what Brad Holmes would have done.
No, no. He tells Kang you what he's thinking.
But Trajan Langdon, I had nothing to work off of. Like, you know, I could go to his past, but he wasn't the guy ultimately making the decision. I would say there was a very good chance they would have took Castle, though, because it seems like, I mean, they passed on. I think, was that the Dalton Connect draft as well, Doug? I think I was big on him at that time. Thank goodness they didn't take him, but he might have helped, depending on the situation he was getting drafted to.
I don't know. I don't have the whole draft. I just have the lottery picks. Dude,
Castle was a good player in college, really good player. So, yeah, I mean, you could draw that conclusion.
Yeah, it was the Dalton Connect draft. Yeah, he went to the Lakers at 17. Yeah, so... As we sit here and we document all the Spurs' luck, and let's be clear here. Had the Pistons won the Wemby lottery, they would have had two lottery wins in a, you know, 3-year span or whatever it was, and the Pistons would have been despised for the same reason. I'm not mad that the Pistons didn't win another lottery. That's not, although it would have been cool, but that, you know, I mean, that then we would have been that team. However, and I guess there's something to be said for being that team, would have been awesome to have Wemby and Cade Cunningham. The year that they dropped from 1 to 5 and San Antonio moved up a spot and the difference was Stephon Castle or Ron Holland, that's also painful. Like, that's another another one of those, an underrated lottery win for the Spurs. So anyway. Damn it, Gator, I wasn't in a bad mood and you started me off down this road. And now I'm in a bad mood.
I came across a cool video last night. Does that make you feel better?
No, but let's hear it. Let's hear the story.
I was, doom scrolling and somehow came across a video of the guitar solo from Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. Is this really famous guitar solo, and it's amazing. David Gilmour did it.
Can I stop you?
No.
Kang, did you know it was going to be a guitar video?
I had an idea, Doug.
Yeah.
Come on.
It usually is.
I had an idea.
Fact that he thinks this is somehow going to impact my day is hysterical, but go ahead.
So one of the guitar players for Iron Maiden, Adrian Smith, was in a studio years ago, and he decided that he was going to take his shot at the Comfortably Numb solo, and it was recorded. It's like 3 minutes long, and it was awesome to see somebody else from a different genre of music take on somebody's epic, iconic moment. That was it. I made it quick.
I stand corrected. I feel much better now.
There you go.
Anyway.
Saw some kitty videos where kitties and dogs get together and they're just, you know, initially they're standoffish and then they end up snuggling together.
To get along.
That puts you in a good mood.
Inspirational for you?
Well, it puts me in a good mood.
Yeah. Well, there was the Tigers yesterday afternoon.
And then there's that.
Yes. And then they've now won 3 in a row. And I'm going to give what I think is the appropriate response. One word. Maybe it's not even a word. I think their appropriate response is...
How many syllables?
One. Oh. I think it's...
Are we sure?
Huh.
That is one syllable.
Yeah. And that's my response to winning 3 in a row. Huh.
Mine is also monosyllabic.
Okay.
A little more enthusiastic than that. It's nice.
Okay.
Nice. Look, I mean, this is the top team in the East. And they just swept them at their own home by hitting 10 home runs and scoring 25 runs in the 3 games. Troy Melton went through a stretch in yesterday's game where he pitched 4 shutout innings on 24 pitches. Think about that. Recording 3 outs an inning on 6 pitches total. That's crazy.
He was unbelievable. We will get to all of that and the game and what's next for the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, Buster Olney, everybody's talking about the Buster Olney quote. Well, we've got the sound. We'll play it for you coming up and amongst some other things. I got no shot, Kang. Sorry. I apologize. Just tell me what it is so I can bring up the library.
I'm excited about what Buster Olney's going to say because it's baseball. I got a little excited yesterday when you started talking minor league guys because we don't normally – see you dig, you know, deep into that ground.
I can't get on my email.
You having problems?
Yeah. Sorry. It's a quick changeover. I got burned again. We'll play the Buster Olney sound. Today is National Cheese Day.
What? I forgot to look today to see what National Day was.
Because this is so big and so important, we'll be asking important cheese questions every hour.
I love it.
Throughout the show.
I love it.
Yeah. Let me just say, Twin Peaks, I'll get to your read. I apologize. I can't get into my file. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. All right. I got computer issues sorted out. It's one of those days. What's that?
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Kang, I'm sorry. Are we doing this now or later? Later. Twin Peaks, I'll take care of you later. My bad. All right, it's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. We got this Tiger team that impressively swept Tampa that made me go, huh. Now, I think that's appropriate. I think that's an early acknowledgement that something perhaps down the road would be worthy of reconsideration.
Huh.
An early acknowledgement that perhaps down the road, something might be worthy of reconsideration. That's what I think of when I go, huh, you went nice.
That's correct.
Yep. And what is the justification? You don't have to justify anything.
Oh, it's three games in a row. It's not just, I mean, one game I would have just been, yeah, you know, and I kind of was. Well, it entertained me for the day. Great. I got to see the game. Two in a row, I'm like, okay, that's, all right, I got it. That's kind of cool. Three in a row, the sweep, it is. It's nice. Does this tell us that this team is hell-bent on making a run? No. But what it tells me is that when this team is assembled as it's supposed to be, or close to as it's supposed to be, at least with a lineup, that they can do some damage. Can they do it consistently is the question. They're getting pitching back real soon. In 3 weeks, we could add three more starting pitchers to the rotation. Which is encouraging.
A rotation that's hung on to be a top 10 in many of the major statistical measurements of starting pitching. The Tigers have maintained a top 10 position throughout all of the injuries.
I mean, guys are bringing back, like, okay, Casey Mize was injured and then came back and he pitched great and now he's injured again. Hopefully he's going to come back and pitch great again. You know, Tarek Skubal is a back-to-back Cy Young Award winner. Justin Verlander at the end of last season went on a ridiculous run, pitched out of his mind, and hopefully they're getting something like that back. They got, you know, Troy Melton back. All Melton has done has been amazing since he's pitched with the Tigers. I mean, they're getting great pitching back. And, you know, good pitching usually beats good hitting. The problem with baseball is that your starters only go like six innings these days. Unless you're Troy Melton, and you go out there and you're a man, you sack up and you go eight innings, which was great. But it's just, there's something more to get excited about or encouraged about. Look, I don't expect the team to be hitting 10 home runs every three games like this, right?
Well, you set the bar where you think it's appropriate.
But it's nice to see. I want to be entertained. And look, winning is entertaining. Scoring runs is entertaining. Having somebody with a tremendous performance individually, that's entertaining. That's what they've been for three games. Even the first game when it was, you know, this wild roller coaster ride, they ended up finishing that ride ahead of the other team, 10-9. And it was fun to watch the ball go over the fence. And then they backed it up with an 8-0 shutout with more balls going over the fence. And then yesterday, I mean, it was three straight games where they just completely ambushed the pitching staff of the Tampa Bay Rays from moment one. It's fun baseball.
So I guess this is because of what we do and because of yesterday's Gator screw up. We're looking for your monosyllabic reaction to winning three in a row, only using words with one syllable. Do you think we're capable of doing this collectively as a show?
I think so. I think we learned a lesson yesterday.
Okay, because we got some coming in here right now, and they're all monosyllabic. Scott writes in, oh. Okay. Petre on Twitch says,
Here we go.
What do you got for a mono syllabic response to the Tigers winning three in a row. I'm going to kind of edit one here, but Kitek says sell. He said more than that, but the sell right. part is, I mean, it, and I would say right now, given the options, because we have two distinct runways here, and we're going to go down both of them. It's what's going on the field with this team this season. If they continue to win, we'll continue to talk about them and perhaps say nice things and talk about what they're possible, what they're capable of doing. And then there's the other road that we will go down when we play four Buster only cuts talking about the Tigers and the trade deadline later in the show, because I feel like that's what we should do. Because I'm not even sure what the audience wants to hear more. Do they want to hear more about the three wins in a row, or do they want to hear more about the possibility of what they could get back if they went ahead at everything must go sale? But yes, you mentioned the story of the game yesterday was Troy Melton. And it's crazy because, like, Buddy hadn't even pitched till 2 weeks ago, and now he steps back on the mound and is, what else do we call him other than dominant? We had that static that only has gotten better from the, what in his starts, he got shelled his first time out. I think it was against Pittsburgh. And since then, he's had, five starts, and he's been great in all of them. Now, yesterday might have been his, that might be his best start of the year, best start of his career, probably is. At one point, Dickerson said he'd had 18 of 20 batters he'd thrown first pitch strikes.
He fell behind
everybody. And he said in the post game afterwards, he was talking about, I had to get back in the strike zone early in counts. I got to get ahead of hitters. And when I started getting ahead of hitters, and he was fantastic. And then the offense, look, I'll just say this about the offense. It's way too early to say that the guys returning have solved a lot of problems. Way, way, way too early. But when people got sick of hearing about the injuries, and we got sick of talking about the injuries, and since guys have started to repopulate the lineup, they're undefeated. Now, we're not doing victory laps over here.
No.
And you shouldn't get fired up just yet. But it's why I woke up this morning and thought, Gator thought, nice. What is your monosyllabic response to this three-game winning streak? Chris in Farmington. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
My monosyllabic response is just simply, I don't think this moves the needle in terms of where I would project the team to be come the trade deadline or even the All-Star break. But I think, if they go on a 10-game run, then you can start having a conversation about, what they're capable of. Now they're getting guys back. But they got to really put together a long string of wins here. And for I think anybody in reason to be able to move that needle,
Chris, the realistic way to get this done isn't like in May they were so bad. They were 6-22. And we kind of joked yesterday about going 22-6 in June. That's not a reasonable expectation. Here's how you do it: by winning 4 or 5 in a row, then you play 500 ball for 10 games, then you scrap out another 3 wins in a row, then you play 500 ball for 8 games, then you win 5 more in a row, then you play 500 ball for 2 weeks, and the next thing you know, this is how you chip away. And so trying to keep it realistic, no, I don't think they're going to go 22-6.
Yeah,
but can they get the streak up to 4-5?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if they can get the streak. I mean, you always hope that they can get the streak and keep it going. But you have to kind of go based off of what they've given you. What have you done for me lately? And based off of May, I just don't expect them to put together a long string of wins. Maybe, hopefully, once they get guys back. But, it's background noise for me for the rest of the season until they can really start competing for a real playoff position.
Yeah, but you got your ear tuned into it, and if they somehow go 20 and 10 in the next 30 games, then guess what? They're kind of back in it.
All right, here's some monosyllabic responses to the three-game winning streak.
It's tough to go 20-10.
From Settle Down Beavis, neat.
Neat. Neat is good.
Yep. From Runaway Greg, man. From Cyclonic Vortex. Meh. From Bear Slays. Ugh. From Ardman. Sure. And, of course, somebody sent in Kesha.
Thank you. That's good. I was just about to say, these people are doing much better with the syllables than I.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Corey's in Grand Rapids and next. Hi, Corey.
Fellas, how you doing this morning?
We're good. Hi, Corey.
So my one works. I have a best friend. We've been friends for almost 40 years, and we text each other during the games, and whenever the Tigers hit a home run, I text them, boom. And so that's my one syllable word. But I have one thing that I want to talk to you guys about real quick, and there's a common theme here. And this is right here. When did the Tigers start losing? It's when Baez went out, Verlander went out, our boy Scuba went out, Carpenter went out, Torres went out. There's a common theme there. It's this right here. Those are all the veterans on our team. In a clubhouse, we talk about it all the time with the Lions, the Red Wings, and so on and so forth. Your clubhouse, you need that veteran leadership. And it's kind of funny that as soon as the veterans started coming back in, of course, you got the young arm talent, who's awesome. But other than that, when the veterans start coming back, you start winning. You need someone in the clubhouse to say, hey, pick your chin up. Hey, you're missing a swing by doing this. Hey, take a better angle at the ball, and so on and so on. You know what I mean? Like that. I'm hoping that's the key we're missing. I'm hoping. I'm hopeful, but that's. But boom, that's my word.
All right, gotcha.
Well, I look at where boom. I'm not sure if it's entirely factually true what he said about the they don't have the veteran leadership and all those guys were out. I think some of that is
it could be true.
I don't know if those guys are actively, you know, critiquing other players about what they're doing or not doing. But there is no question that, you know, there was all that excitement before this season began. Like they just signed Justin Verlander, right? Bringing him back was a great story, and hopefully it works out.
We knew it was a great story.
They don't just do it for the great story. They did it because he was really great the second half of the season last year. And we got this rotation we really, really like. And then, boom, after one start, it's kind of done. You know? And then when Scuba gets hurt after Carpenter and Torres and Baez went out, that's a lot. But this team, because they've made the playoffs each of the last 2 years and because they've won playoff series each of the last 2 years, I kind of feel like this team has plenty of veterans on it because what they've gone through. They may not be old, but they've been through a lot already as Tigers. I mean, these guys do have experience, so we'll see where they go from here. I think not having Gleyber Torres is probably the biggest loss this team had.
There was that. They actually really started to bottom out then. If you look at that was a line of delineation that when it was crossed, things really got bad. So two things. One is we're taking your monosyllabic reactions to a 3-game winning streak. Only one syllable only. Don't ask why. Two is we'll have our first important cheese question.
Oh, man.
Coming up today at 10:36. It's National Cheese Day. This is so big. Once an hour, we'll have important cheese questions. So sit tight for that. Alex in a car says, based on Gator's definition of monosyllabic, my reaction to the 3-game win streak is, all right. Will in Livonia says, my one-syllable response to the Tigers winning 3 games is, psh. Doesn't sound that impressed.
Is that what it is? Pish.
Yep. Carl says, bam. John and Wixon says, nope. Brandon in the car says, mine is damn or Kesha. JC and Alan Park says, whoo. Or maybe it's we. I don't know. W-H-H-H-E-E-E-E-E-W. How would you say that?
Whoo.
Okay. I like this one. From Garth in Scotland. My monosyllabic response is, K. Like, okay.
Except there's no O. That would make
it. Yeah, he just went K. He just went K. So, look. I think most of Detroit is handling this appropriately, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not flying off the handle. It's three games. It's a nice stretch, and it's been fun to watch. If you don't think it's been fun to watch in three games, and I guess you don't like baseball, or you're really, really upset by the start that this team had, and I can understand being upset with the start that this team had. Brutal.
Yeah. Okay, today is National Cheese Day. Usually we will come up with a topic, but it feels like National Cheese Day is so important that we are going to do a important cheese questions throughout the show. I don't know how many Kang you've put together back there, but we're just going to stop the show.
He's got an assortment.
He's got a
cheese question.
Yeah. So are we ready for our first?
Got a charcuterie National board full of cheese questions.
National That's Cheese right. Day question.
Yeah, well, we're still working on the music, so we'll just have to do this one dry.
That's fine.
But it doesn't matter because we're talking cheese, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Dry aged.
So super easy one to start off with here, Gator. Doug, mm-hmm. Best cheese on a sandwich?
Okay. I'm ready to go.
I know you like sandwiches, Gator.
I do. This is so tough. I mean, obviously.
Do you want me to go
works.
First?
Yeah,
you
go ahead. You go
Swiss.
First.
Love Swiss cheese.
Of course.
Love Swiss
of
cheese.
Of course.
And Swiss What's wrong is great.
With Swiss cheese?
There's nothing wrong with it, but... It's a Doug answer.
It's a Doug answer.
Right?
You know why? Because it's not really a full slice of cheese because it's got holes in it. Yeah. So
less calories.
Less
for
calories.
Doug, right?
Yeah, that's why Doug likes this.
That's not
cheese.
At all why I like the cheese
because it goes best with turkey too.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It does go really well with turkey.
Turkey
that is
and
true.
Swiss. 100%. There you go.
Hundo P. Gator. Hundo P.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Doug, do you like the baby Swiss or regular Swiss?
They're both great. But if I had to make a choice, I'd probably go baby Swiss.
I've changed over the years. At one point, it was provolone for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm kind of soured on provolone. It's got a different flavor to it. Maybe I've just gotten different kinds of provolone. It's just not as good. Swiss is great. It's a great call. I'm going to agree with Doug because my favorite sandwich does have Swiss. It's turkey and Swiss.
The diagram doesn't cross very often with
turkey,
us.
Turkey, Swiss, coleslaw, Russian dressing on a Kaiser roll is my favorite sandwich of all time.
What about you, Kang?
I'm just going to go Colby Jack because I feel like it can go with almost any sandwich for me. You know what I mean? I need versatility. With Swiss, I like Swiss. I do. But I think for me, Swiss is almost always a turkey sandwich, you know? And I want more versatility. I want multiple positions like Brad Holmes here. Got to be able to play along the line also.
Swiss cheese with a hot dog? That's pretty
really?
Great. You get it kind of like half melted into the hot dog.
It does
it's
not sound
awesome.
Good.
It's so good.
Does not sound good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Doug, how much do you like Swiss? Would you eat it on a hot dog?
No.
It's an intriguing
thing to me. I've never.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that, Kang?
No, that kind of ruins one of my other questions, though, but I might as well ask it now.
Okay.
What would you put cheese on that no one else does? And yours is Swiss cheese on a hot dog, I would say.
Absolutely. I would put Swiss cheese. I have put Swiss cheese on a hot dog. Did it last week?
So I'm going to be bad at this when it comes to this question. I mean, because everything I say is somebody's done. So,
right. But
I mean, it's corn. It's putting cotija cheese on corn as part of a Mexican street corn.
But I don't think most people think of like, got an ear of corn. They're not thinking, where's the cheese?
No, they probably aren't. And I put cotija cheese on corn and actually use, butter and mayo because that's how the best Mexican corn is.
But that's how you make it, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah. So, I'd say putting cheese on corn.
Yeah, I guess in that way. But if you told me you put cheddar on a corn cob, that would be no one else does that.
Yeah, that's not what I do. What about, on salad? I put cheese in salad.
What kind of cheese? Does it matter?
Is it shredded always?
It's usually shredded, but I have taken Swiss cheese and ripped it up into tiny little squares and thrown it into a salad.
Yeah, I had that last night. I had Maurice salad.
Maurice, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I
love a Maurice
salad. I don't have a very adventurous answer to this one. But
no.
Gang, is there something you throw cheese on that just seems out of nowhere?
This is way over the top. People are going to get triggered. When I was a kid, I used to put American cheese with a banana. That's answering the
next
question.
Next up, your
that's
mono,
an answer.
Your
that's
mono,
an answer right there.
Next up, your monosyllabic reactions to that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's up there with Swiss on a hot dog for me. I feel like that's something you just don't hear people doing ever.
Because nobody does.
Well, we answered the question, Doug.
That's true. No,
I gotta tell you.
Fair enough.
If King's answer doesn't solicit a response of Kesha, I don't know what does.
K-$?
Yeah. Bobby, you look like your guy who enjoys cheese.
What's that mean?
I mean, we always, I mean, who doesn't love cheese?
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, of course. I do love cheese.
Yeah. Can you answer this question? Is there something you throw cheese on that's a little out of the ordinary?
Probably nowhere even close to throwing American cheese on a banana. That's kinda, absolutely threw me for a loop.
Yeah, kesha.
I put an entire block of Parmesan and cream cheese in my mashed potatoes.
Now that is...
An entire block?
An entire block?
I grade the entire block of Parmesan into the mashed potatoes and the entire brick of cream cheese.
Oh, by the way,
it's delicious.
You were spot on with Bobby likes cheese.
Yeah, I love cheese.
Wow!
I was so excited when you said this was happening today.
Hey, let me just say this. Kane's response was a little out there, right?
Yes.
What the hell was that?
What do you mean?
I mean, no, that's something I want to try, but I love cheese, brick? Dude. But an entire brick of cream cheese and an entire little wedge of Parmesan cheese, freshly shredded into mashed potatoes.
I hope you're drooling right now because it's great.
I want to try it, but I really want to see you make it because I think that would be an amazing video to see somebody making that.
That's a lot of cheese, my man.
That's a lot of cheese.
It's mixed in with a lot of potato.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, how many potatoes are making that?
I don't know. I usually do this for Thanksgiving, so it's usually a big dish.
So it's for a family.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's not me solo. That would be insane.
That would be
insane.
Yeah.
Stepped up.
Yes, he did.
Bobby stepped up. Crushed it.
Okay, so
like Dylan Dingler against the Rays. Kaboom!
We'll have important cheese questions once an hour throughout the show. And somehow, have we added cheese? We're going to have cheese music or a cheese sounder or something?
Yeah, some music.
All right. Because it is National Cheese Day. More Tiger Talk straight ahead, including your monosyllabic responses to a 3-game series sweep at Tampa. How do you put it into perspective only using monosyllabic words or sounds? It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. All right, I know I always knew these people on Twitch were crazy. From East Side Era, I make a feta cheese and watermelon sandwich.
Okay. I've heard of feta and watermelon being paired together, but to make it into a sandwich is interesting. That's a choice.
Detroit Made says, no one gives credit to the cheese and fruit combination, especially watermelon and savory cheese. Well, I mean, people put cheese on apple pie.
Yeah. Not this guy, but people do, which is strange because I love cheese. I like apple pie, but I don't ever see myself putting cheese on the apple pie.
Right. I'm going to work my way through this because there's a lot of, pretentious words here. Rise writes, I know it sounds snobbish, but I do love me some brie or camembert.
Oh, yeah.
Brie or camembert baguette sando, preferably with a pate or prosciutto.
Oh, pate and prosciutto, yes. Is it straight from Parma? If it's not, it's not really prosciutto.
Anyway, National Cheese Day.
Do you like brie?
I have at times went, this isn't bad. But I never will buy it. I never buy it. When it's offered to me, I'll have it. And I'll be like, this isn't bad.
Kang, you a brie guy?
Yeah, I like brie.
I like brie.
Cheese is, I almost like all of it, like real cheese. I'm not talking like head cheese. That's not cheese. Like dairy type, cheese. It almost makes everything better.
You got no love
better.
For Velveeta?
No, I got love for the fake cheese too. Nacho cheese, pump cheese, all that.
Oh, yeah.
But Gator, like, you know how we like say, like when you said Swiss with a hot dog, or I say American cheese with a banana or apple pie.
Yeah.
It does sound weird, all three of those things. But somehow cheese enhances everything. It's weird, right?
There's a saltiness in cheese that brings out flavors and other
cheese
things.
Cheese can do it.
Inherently, yeah.
Cheese can bring us together.
Cheese Cheese can bring us
together.
It
really does feel like we need something right now that can bring us together.
You know what? Cheese can bring us together.
Yeah.
We just solved our choices are unplug the United States and plug it back in, or rally around cheese.
You know what? You don't notice a lot of cheese in which cuisine? Middle Eastern. Not a whole lot of cheese in Middle Eastern cuisine.
Don't start something up.
I'm just saying,
what
maybe.
What are you doing, man?
Bring some cheese to the table?
Bring some people together. There's a common understanding now.
Let's go to Creighton in Ipsy. You're on 97.1. Hi, Creighton.
Gentlemen, good morning. How's it going?
All right, good. Creighton.
All right. So you guys talk two of my favorite things. First, sports. Now you're talking food. So you got me.
Here we go.
Okay. So let me just say, I'm a pretty heavy guy, so I like my food. Regardless of what any doctor says, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. So in order for me to lose a little bit of weight, the doctor told me one rule of thumb when it comes to your diet is if it's white, it's not right. So I said, okay, I like rice. So what do? I put cheese in my rice. Therefore, it's no longer white. I can have it.
It's that simple. I mean, I think the idea was to switch over to brown rice, but that works for you. What kind of cheese are you throwing with rice?
That's fantastic.
Sharp cheddar cheese.
Just shred it in there?
Just shred it in there. Or you can buy it already pre-shredded. Works out just fine. It's nice, creamy, warm, comforting. It's the absolute best.
Yeah, I mean,
brown rice, no. Brown rice is very dry, and it's just, no. Brown rice is for amateurs. The pros, we're doing white jasmine rice and put sharp cheddar cheese in it, let it melt, and then when you get that mushy that sound when you put that fork in there, delicious, guys.
Is that
so
a
remember
little bit,
folks out there,
is that a little bit of a derivation
white,
of like
it ain't right.
of like grits, because you put cheese in grits, is it kind of similar?
Yeah, we do that too. My grandmother, she's from the South, she made a big thing with us growing up with having cheese in the grits. But we said, hey, you know, let's kind of get a little bit of a variation with it. Let's put it in the
rice. Let's go.
Too.
Let's go.
The grits are white, so let's make them yellow too, just like the rice that we do.
I ain't mad at you, Craig.
They're both delicious.
So, have you told your doctor? Let's circle back. Have you told your doctor that you're abiding by his rules and what your workaround is?
Oh, I told my doctor to go to hell. Some things you're just not going to give up. I'm willing to cut back on the beer. I've already cut back on my cigar smoking, but some things I just can't cut back on. I'm sorry. I mean, listen.
You do.
I guess you'll do. Hopefully, everything works out there.
Yeah, but, no health issues.
Look, cheese and rice is, there's nothing. I mean, you think about getting a burrito. You typically have cheese and rice together in a burrito, along with proteins and some other, vegetables. But yeah.
Anyway, National Cheese Day. More cheese questions coming up throughout the show. In the meantime, people are sending in, they continue to send in their monosyllabic responses to the Tigers' 3-game winning streak. From Jared, for my monosyllabic word, I'm the voice of the Fonz. Okay.
That was quite an impression.
Yeah, maybe.
I was going to say. It was so not Fonz, I feel
it was like.
It
was like Fonzie disapproving. Hey. Hey.
Keener, show him the real Fonz.
You do it.
Hey.
Should I have you read these? It might be better.
No, it's right. So much better when you're reading it.
Only the Fonz ones have Keener read.
Bill of Madison Heights, the same thing as Garth. K. Mark and Livonia. Yawn.
Oh.
From TT and Jack. Oh.
That's appropriate.
Yep. From Dave. Cool.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, right. From Tom and Brighton.
Is there an exclamation point after the cool? Or is it
There's
just,
not.
Okay. Then I think that's cool. Appropriate. Cool.
You're not too excited.
No.
It's cool. From Tom and Brighton. Yep. So there you go. 248-539-9797. Monosyllabic responses to the Tigers' 3-game winning streak. In the meantime, I don't know if you caught this. Did you see who homered last night?
Max Clark.
Yes, he did. That's 2 in 2 days.
Apparently crushed it.
Yep.
2 and 2.
Yeah. You know what my response to that is? Huh.
Cool. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, we've been monitoring what's going on down there.
Yeah, look, lots of guys are hitting the ball at Toledo, and the guy who was hitting the hell out of the ball got his call up to the Tigers and Gage Workman, and it didn't work out for him.
Yep.
Howie Lee got sent back down and immediately had like three hits or something.
Howie Lee's last game was Monday, right? And he homered?
Yeah, actually, I there's something about Howie Lee I like. I don't know if he's going to be a regular major player.
No, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The body type. He's a middle infielder with a catcher's body.
He is.
He's totally a middle infielder with a catcher's body. And I don't know how good of a middle infielder he's going to be over time. Like, he made the unbelievable one-handed, it wasn't unbelievable, he made the slick glove flip to start the double play in Monday's game, and then he bobbled an easy double play ball.
I've got a comp body type, and I just want to make sure that this is appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, that looks about right.
Of a previous player?
Yes. Not for the Tigers. I mean, a comp for Howie Lee, but does not play for the Tigers. I wanted to see if I... Let me check out Howie Lee's. Yeah. The comp to me for his body type. Body type only, people. Let's relax here. I'm saying body type only. Jose Ramirez.
Maybe a little bit.
They're both like 5'9", 190. Both a little pudge on them. They could, if you told me they were a catcher, I wouldn't be shocked by
it. I'd like to see them standing next to one another. And yes, I'm glad you had all the qualifications beforehand. Yes, disclaimers, okay, body type only.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer. Yep. So.
Yeah, he's an intriguing player.
But there's
intriguing
something about
player.
The body type that I root for. Okay, I'm going to root for this guy. A little diminutive in stature, but he's stocky. He's got some power, some pop, some sock in the bat.
Mm-hmm. All for Michael Lorenzen?
Sounds right.
Yeah, wasn't he who they got back in the Lorenzen trade?
I think so.
It's actually in a short list of trades that might be good for Scott Harris.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if Howie Lee is destined to be a regular everyday player.
I use the word might.
Might. Yeah. Might in capital
M. It's doing a lot of work there, the word might. All right. I saw something that I'm like, oh, it's a ripoff. We'll get to that at 11:02 on 97.1.